The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Eric.
Yes.
And it's a bit confusing because the child is called Edgar.
Yeah, I was confused by that too. Exactly. Eric is a new series on Netflix starring Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays a puppeteer who's developed this whole show on kids' TV, Good Day Sunshine. And he's a complicated man. He's a tortured artist, you might say. Strained relationship with his very wealthy father. He's married to his wife, Cassie, played by the great Gabby Hoffman, people know from Girls. And there's a slightly tempestuous relationship. They have one son called Edgar who goes missing. And they don't know where he is. And there is suspicion everywhere. And it probably begins as something along the lines of a, I don't want to say bog standard, but a missing child case turned into a TV show, which we've seen plenty of. But there's a huge amount more going on.
There certainly is. I've watched 4 episodes of the 6.
Good, good.
So I have to be careful not to spoil.
Yeah, so, but I will get to this, but just quickly, are you yaying or naying it?
Oh, I'm yaying.
Great.
Absolutely,
okay,
yaying.
Good. We can continue with this interview. Benedict
Cumberbatch is fabulous.
He is incredible. He was on Screen Time last week, if I can just throw it out there, because you always have to be selling, Pat, as you well know. But I really think he is, oh, I don't know, he's this generation's De Niro or something in some ways. He's such range as a character. He also voices the puppet. So we can get to the puppet, right?
Yeah.
So in a kind of almost like gestalt therapy kind of thing, he comes up with this idea that his son, Edgar, will respond if he creates a puppet that he's been drawing. His son,
the
Edgar,
child has been drawing.
Has been drawing. So Edgar has been drawing an Eric. So he devises this puppet called Eric. But then this puppet appears to come to life and almost becomes Vincent, who's Benedict Cumberbatch's character's name, his kind of unconscious or his underbelly. Sometimes he's trying to help him. Sometimes he's chiding him. At one point, they're doing cocaine together in a bathroom. Like, it's bananas. But it's not, you shouldn't be put off by that.
No, not at all. Because we know that this is a creature of his imagination.
Yeah.
And we also know this guy has been taking, he's been treated with medication since he was a child for some sort of mental disorder.
Yeah, and you know that old thing, as the twig is bent, so shall the tree grow. You get a sense that in a way, none of this is his fault, because his father was a real unpleasant man to him in lots of ways, and thinks his career as a puppeteer. And Benedict does very good actually working a puppet. And he also voices Eric, which is a very hard thing to do, to play a character who's opposite you and also give voice to that. And what we haven't got into is, aside from that, like, that would be a TV show in its own right, but it's set in this brilliantly grimy 1985-1986 New York.
This is before Rudy Giuliani cleaned up the place.
Exactly. This is, you probably remember, well, no, not to age you, but I don't remember, but I do remember hearing that, like, in 1976 there was a famous New York Post headline, Ford to New York drop dead. They were in danger of defaulting. New York was going down the tubes, and it kind of went down the tubes until Giuliani came. It was a grimy, horrible place. And this show captures that, I think, brilliantly.
It captures this, that the time where AIDS was epidemic, where there was no cure, and people who contracted AIDS inevitably died.
Yeah, and enter the case, there's an unusually named actor who's brilliant in it called McKinley Belshar III, who I also spoke to last week, who plays Michael Ledrott, who's the lead, the detective in the case.
And he's black.
And he's black, and he's gay, and he's caring for his dying partner.
Who's white.
Yeah. And it's some of the most heartfelt moments in the whole series. But he's also investigating another child who disappeared around a nightclub called Lux. And it all comes together in a brilliant coalescence of storylines.
And Lux is kind of Studio 54.
Yeah, a grimier Studio 54.
Okay, you've got some clips.
Yeah, so this will give you a sense of what's going on.
48 hours have passed since Edgar Anderson was last seen around 8 a.m. en route to school. We are urging anybody with information, however small, please come forth. Help bring this lost boy home. I want to hand over to Edgar's parents. Say a few words.
Edgar, if you're watching this, sorry, buddy. Just come home, okay? Prove to all these ladies and gentlemen at the press that you're not dead.
And that kind of sets you wondering, what's this all about? Come yeah. home.
Yeah.
Persuade these people you're not dead.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers because a lot of stuff happens, but it's fair to say you'll know from the first episode that they don't know who's at fault here, and everyone is a suspect, including Benedict. I think that's yeah. fair to say.
But also, there's all this blaming the parents. How dare you yeah. allow your child to walk to school on his own? It's only yeah. a couple of blocks.
Absolutely. But this, is, of course, was 1985, 1986 New York, which was supposed to go. But I'm not casting aspersions on his character for doing it. But that's where the finger of blame goes, because yeah. he lets
it. I remember way back then when Times Square was a sleazy place.
Yeah.
There were peep shows everywhere yeah. and the hoardings were all kind of semi-obscene, advertising all sorts of things. I remember seeing a boy and a girl in school uniforms walking across Times Square, indifferent to everything that was around them. You know, there they were, holding hands, brother and sister, walking through Times Square on their way to a public school, and it didn't matter what was on the walls.
So was this you in New York in the mid to late 80s?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Because I went, not to go off topic here, but it is germane to what we're talking about. I did my J1 in the mid 90s, and I did it in an upstate country club in New York. And we were
wouldn't you?
Of course. Don't get too impressed. I was a waiter, paid minimum wage, just to be honest about it. And then I was a caddy, which I was terrible at. But enough of that. But I remember going into New York in like 1995, and I remember a chef in the country club saying, "You wouldn't have gone there 5 years ago." Like, they really did clean it up. And not that I'm a particular fan of Mayor Giuliani, but he did the business in terms of the New York that we know now, where you jet off for the weekend and spend however yeah. many thousands of euro in fancy
restaurants. I mean, they recreated the horrible subway, the graffiti, yeah. and that netherland which exists in many cities, in London included, where there are abandoned stations
yeah.
Which are occupied then by homeless people.
And there was a community, a village, almost a city under the New York subway where vagrants, homeless people lived. And there were thousands of them, and it was an epidemic. And this show does it brilliantly. Can I give you another flavour of it? Because yeah. I mentioned that Ledrotte, the detective, I think is as good as anyone in this series. And this is him with his partner kind of discussing what happens next.
I'll stay home today.
Do what? Sit around and stop me playing cello?
What's
going on in there?
Just work.
Don't give up on him.
The kid's been gone for over a week.
I'm just talking about this boy.
William.
You got out of that place. Now you can do something. Even if they try and grind you down, Michael, you were there for a reason. Remember that when I'm not here.
Oh, my God. Enough with the exits, Peach. You're not going anywhere, old man.
We both know that's not true.
Yeah, and that's Eric talking to Vincent.
No, that's Michael Ledrotte talking to his partner.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the voice is in. It's a problem with radio, yeah. you know?
Okay, this would put you in mind of the James Stewart film Harvey.
Oh, yeah. I can
Very
see
good,
that,
says yeah. one. So, John, no screen time this week?
Due to the election. So, you know, but that's the nature of it. Politics, you know, must proceed. However, if you're desperate to hear more of me, I will be in the seat for Sean tomorrow from 2 to 4.
Okay, so, you know, very good.
Get your fix.
Boxed recommends Eric
very much
entirely.
So. And you agree as well.
Absolutely, totally. Right. All right, thanks very much, John Fardy. Excellent book to read is Penguins Stopped Play by Harry Thompson. The story of a man who founded his own village cricket team and played on all 7 continents of the world. We don't have the weather in Ireland for cricket, and like the original British colonies, we have limited time in the year to play. Another one says, the first reported cricket game was between the Coldstream and Grenadier Guards, based in Bandon and Kinsale, before the deciding rubber, the Coldstreams were transferred to India. So we never got a result. One of the fields I farm is called the cricket field. My great-grandfather played cricket and was Southern Chairman of Kilkenny GAA in the 1920s. So there you are. You're not a cricket fan, I presume, John, are you?
No, I'm not really my sport. Sorry. No. I'm an Everton fan. I've enough to be going on with it, you know.
All right.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.